This work is led by Samir Siddiqui, who's now the director of Division of Health Systems Development at WHO EMRO, Eastern Mediterranean Regional Office in Cairo. So being a second author, I have the privilege of saying stuff that he probably wouldn't be able to say, so please bear with me. I would acknowledge that that we don't have any financial interest in the book, but we are interested in this book being read and critiqued. This is the first work that the first large work that comes from the region with 520 pages and 81 authors. So we would like to engage with you. This is my first time actually at the APHA. I go a lot of international conferences, and many of them cardiology or so, and I haven't had the chance to be at the APHA before. So we would like to build this international collaboration that we started with this book and launching an international initiative on public health in the Arab world. So part of the work that I'm going to present this has been presented in the book. Part of this is going to be part of the forthcoming Lancet series on health in the Arab world that's coming up in 2013 that actually brings out new issues not covered in the book and many other developments, considering that the book was developed prior to the onset of these transformative changes that we've witnessed in the region. Health systems governance. Many of us have a problem with the WHO health systems framework. It's too box-like, it's typical arrows and stuff like that, but perhaps I want to highlight that this work is building on this framework. But instead of actually going through the details of the various elements, it's going to untangle this governance component of the building block. Now, why is this important? This morning I went to PubMed and I searched under titles or title abstract the three words, the keywords of health system governance. So if you put this, you receive 15 articles. 15 articles only on health system governance. So it shows the work that that Siddiqui has started. It's really pioneering work, and it's now increasingly referenced. And we would like this framework that we're going to discuss to be critiqued, perhaps applied elsewhere, and further developed. So there are different ways that we can refer to the issue of governance. In the 2000 report, WHO referred to stewardship. Leadership is a well-established term, but health system, the governance aspect is actually gaining more attention because it's not doesn't refer just to the Minister of Health. It refers to how the society come together explicitly or implicitly to organize the activities that would improve public health. So this involves citizen groups and many other actors. So the governance is a broader construct that can actually be certainly more useful than other terms. Governance is strongly associated with health outcomes. This data clearly shows the outcomes for the immunization and child mortality. Of course, the issue of the relationship between health system governance and health outcomes is a different story. I'll get to this later on. How do we approach health system governance? Well, at the time of the initiation of this work, there were these four available menu choices to choose from. You could choose the WHO's domains of stewardship, the PAHO's essential public health function, which you guys use in this country very often, World Bank's indicators of governance, or the UNDP's, they have a program on good governance, including actually a program on good governance in the Arab world called POGAR. And the problem with two of these, the World Bank and the UNDP, they're not specific to the health sector. They're not specific to public health. And the other two have the limitation. For example, the essential public health function is mostly focusing on public health performance. You know, how is the public health sector doing rather than how is it being governed and led. So there are limitations. This led to the development of a framework within the WHO, EMRO, and this framework has been applied to Pakistan and published in relation to Pakistan. I'm going to present the case study for the six Arab countries that are listed here. Mostly low-income, middle-income countries in the Arab region, and seek your input about this. Now, in comparison to the other frameworks, for example, the WHO framework that doesn't have enough details and sufficient zooming in, so to speak, on the health system governance component, this framework proposes 10 principles, ranging from a strategic vision to equity to ethics to information efficiency. It's all listed there. For each of those principles, there's a working definition that draws, that's evidence informed. So it draws on international literature in defining what strategic vision means, what participation means, what rule of law means, and this. Evidence-informed definition is not restricted to the health literature. For example, the rule of law comes mostly from the development and the political science literature that attempts to identify what is the rule of law and then tries to project what this means for the health system. The analytic framework that's applied to these principles is that you go from principle to domains, and the principle may have multiple domains, and you go then to ask questions. And these questions are to be applied when we go to the method section, because this is what you're going to be asking your interviewees, and this is what you're going to be critically analyzing the documents that are out there to try to untangle what health system governance is like in a particular country. Now, of course, when you talk about governance, there are multiple layers. The first layer is the national governance, overall social and economic policies in the country. Then the health system level, this is usually the Minister of Health and stuff like that. And the third is the policy implementation, which may take place in government facilities, but may also take place in the private sector, in the NGO sector. So this is an example of how the various principles are operationalized, so to speak, in the framework. So you take issue of equity, for example, you have a clear definition of it, and then you deconstruct it into several domains, and for different and you try to identify the broad questions that correspond to the these levels. And then what you do is then you develop specific questions that address the broad questions. Now, because we have 10 principles here, broad questions are quite a few, 61 broad questions. So it's a very extensive assessment of the health system survey. And of course, the specific questions will be quite many more. In this study, the specific questions were proposed, so to speak, rather than used, forced down the throats of the various country coordinators, because it was we needed to have people, we needed to give people the flexibility to be able to identify specific countries, specific questions that are relevant to different countries. The data collection method was two-pronged, document analysis and interviews, and these these sources were quite diverse in terms of both documents and interviewees. But a third one that's an implied one is that we used researchers, informants in countries that are actually connected with the health systems in different ways and with the governance, with the various governance functions. So that's perhaps an implicit third layer of data analysis. Take one example. If you think about the principles and then the different levels and the different broad questions, you come up with an extensive matrix that I'm not going to bother you with. Really extensive matrix for each the country, and then a very complex matrix for the six countries that we are working on analysis. But this is one example. You can take one principle, and you take the different domains, for example, that are listed on the left, and you do a yes or no check. How is this in this country versus that country? And you come up with a picture of where things are. Or you can pick up a domain from a different principle and do a qualitative analysis, so to speak, of statements made by the researchers about what each particular country has. And of course, we have to be critical about what is listed. For example, is the parliament really a good channel for accountability in a country was Egypt? Well, if it were, then in that case, why did the Egyptians rise against the regime? So let me proceed here to discuss that perhaps a lot more important than discussing the results of the different countries is to highlight that we have an operational framework that allows us really to examine what these principles mean. We identify shortcomings in all principles in all countries at all three levels in each country, and that's perhaps to be expected. But there are common themes that seem to really come up more strongly than others in the interviews if you analyze qualitatively issues of accountability, participation, rule of law, and transparency are especially highlighted. There are several limitations to the current work. This is quite a complex framework. Should we go with a more parsimonious model that tends to collapse down? But you lose the details and the specificity of various functions. It's difficult to validate. There's a no gold standard for good health system governance. This framework does not explore global governance, clinical governance. It doesn't pay enough attention to the private sector. And it doesn't relate the health system governance to outcomes, it doesn't track governance over time. So perhaps this is where one can build on current work towards the future, and this is where we appreciate your critical input. Thank you very much. I hope I kept the time.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Do you want to I'm still here. Okay.